First of all, Lou and I don't see ourselves as being giants of anything, so it's kind of a flattering title. But I really feel like it's not just about Lou and I. This is going to be about journalists, what we do, what it's like to cover a major news story, and we don't want it to just be a somber event. We think there will be a lot of levity.
How many years have you both been at the Buffalo News?
Well, between us, Dan and I have approximately 75 years of journalism experience. And like Dan was saying, you know, there is room for levity. I mean, if you can't laugh in the news business, because there is often so much sadness, you're going to lose it at some point.
You two have also authored books, and you've teamed together on many tragic stories here in the region.
Probably the two biggest stories that Lou and I ever worked on would be the Timothy McVeigh case, the Oklahoma City bomber, and the James Kopp case. James Kopp was the man who assassinated an abortion doctor here in Amherst. And we worked on the Timothy McVeigh book, which was called American Terrorists. We worked on that for 5 years. It really took over our lives during that time. I don't have any regrets about it, and I know Lou doesn't either, but it really weighed heavily on us. There were times of paranoia where we were doing interviews with McVeigh and were wondering if we're being watched and followed by the government, and a lot of crazy things happened to us during that time. But it was a great experience.
I recall when Dan and I were over at the Erie County Holding Center interviewing James Kopp, who shot and killed Dr. Slepian. And the first words out of his mouth were, "That bullet took a crazy angle," or very similar to that. And it took McVeigh a day, 8 hours of interviewing, not until the second day, to confess that he was the Oklahoma City bomber and had killed 168 people back April 19th, 1995. But right out of James Kopp's mouth was, "The bullet took a crazy angle." And Dan and I were both taken by, his willingness to own up to the crime and then to try and explain the murder away. That's always fascinating.
That, of course, was that famous jailhouse confession that he gave you. And, Dan, you were up on the witness stand. You were called in to testify at that. I remember covering the trial.
Yeah, just to piggyback a little on what Lou was saying, when we were preparing to interview James Kopp in the jail, we spent probably two full days at my house compiling 30 pages, single-spaced, of questions and thinking, okay, now how are we going to lead into this? We wanted to lead into it gradually to get him to talk about his shooting. And, well, let's start out talking about his family and his childhood. And yet we sit down with him, and the very first words out of his mouth were, "Do you know what it's like to shoot and kill somebody?" And then he went on to tell us that the bullet took a crazy angle in this doctor's body. So, yeah, it was an amazing experience. I ended up testifying in the trial, and James Kopp was acting as his own attorney. So he was questioning me from a distance of about 3 feet, and it was a very weird experience. The good thing is, my testimony was only confined to what had already been in our newspaper articles, so he wasn't asking about sources or anything like that. The news would have fought that. But I'll never forget it, and I hope I don't have to do it again.
That's really interesting, to be cross-examined by the subject that you've – the subject, the individual you've interviewed. And in a sense, that happened with McVeigh, not in a legal courtroom setting, but shortly after our book came out, he received one of the first copies, of course, and he sent me a letter, to Dan and I, and he thanked us for being fair to him. We didn't take sides, and it would have been so easy to do that.
What was it like then, knowing that he was executed, after having that time spent with him?
Well, Lou and I are both Catholics, and we're both against the death penalty. So even though he killed 168 people, we didn't want him to be put to death. In fact, I think it would have been more of a punishment to Timothy McVeigh if he had to stay in a jail cell for the rest of his life and for maybe another 30, 40, 50 years to have to wake up every morning realizing that he'd killed 168 innocent people. So we were against that, of course, and Lou actually witnessed the execution, and that was tough for him.
That has to be such a kind of horrifying experience.
Society thinks that it's bringing justice, inflicting justice, administering justice. But McVeigh went very peacefully that day, and there was a tear, as I recall, coming out of his left eye as he was strapped to the gurney, and there were these three translucent intravenous tubes going into his arm under this big white sheet. And I remember them waving when they were pressurized and poison was being pumped into his veins. No sympathy to McVeigh, but I just watched those three tubes moving in a ghostly way. But what really strikes me about that day was later on TV, one of the victims from the Oklahoma City bombing was on CNN and said that she said she really thought she would get closure from this, but and wanted Tim dead. But she came to realize after seeing the execution that she needs to do some work on herself, that killing another person wasn't the answer.
Did either McVeigh or James Kopp convey to you their regrets for what they had done?
I don't think James Kopp conveyed any regrets to us. Well, I take that back. His regret was that he said he wasn't intending to kill Dr. Slepian. He was intending to injure him and stop him from, as he said, committing more abortions. So the shot hit Dr. Slepian. It hit a bone in his body and bounced into his heart. So Kopp certainly expressed regrets to us. Whether he was being sincere about that, only he would know. McVeigh's only regret was that there was a daycare center in the Oklahoma City office building that he bombed. He swore to us that he didn't know there was a daycare center in there. I believe it was about 20 little children were killed. And I, for what it's worth, Lou and I believe him because, strange as it sounds, he was proud of almost every other aspect of his bombing, but he was ashamed that he hadn't done enough research to know that there was a daycare center in there.
All of this work that you've conducted over time and these stories that we've covered were all pre-social media and the digital age. So you relied on your paper and pen and listening, very good listening skills, to get all the quotes and all the information that you've done over the years.
No matter how digital we go, I do not believe there'll be a replacement for one individual sitting down with another and having them open up and unburden themselves of their story. You know, it goes back to that, tell me a story. People, second to that, I think, have an innate desire to tell what's going on in their life, especially when it's a major event that they're thrown in the middle of, whether it's a mother in the village of Allegheny talking about her son surviving a shooting rampage at Fort Hood, or an elderly person recalling their spouse who's passed away for an obituary.
Before I close out, most memorable, if you can, on the fly here, most memorable time for you as a journalist in the Buffalo community?
My most memorable time was when I was working out at the Niagara County Bureau, and my good buddy here, Dan Herbeck, recruited me to work on a corruption story out there. And I was writing a lot of obituaries at the time and news briefs, and he saw something in me, and he's always been my mentor and, you know, a brother to me.
I would have a really hard time telling you my most memorable experience, but and Eileen, I know you've been through the same thing. The thing that really sticks with you is when you go and you interview somebody and they really open up to you and tell you some intimate details, things I've never told anyone else, sometimes including their own family. And they end up crying, and I've ended up crying a few times interviewing people. I'm not ashamed to admit it. And that's happened to me at least 10 times in my career, and that's what I'll always remember.
Gentlemen, thank you so much, Dan Herbeck and Lou Michel, for sharing your story. And the public can look forward to hearing from you on Friday, April 18th at the Buffalo History Museum. Giants of Buffalo, the series is on journalism. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eileen.
Thanks, Eileen.